You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
But Charles is going to come, and if our musicians get together, and I bet they do. We got great musicians, don't we? Yeah, we do that. All right, Brother Charles.
Well, how do y'all like my dress up tonight? Well, I had to go to a funeral this afternoon, and funerals and weddings are about all we dress up for anymore, except Sunday morning. We dress up Sunday morning at this church, but you don't have to. If you can come, you come any way you are. It's not ringing, it's just making the amplifier sound loud. We're going to do an old song for you tonight. This happens to be our brother Ricky's favorite song. And he had a little surgery today, I heard, so I think he can use some peace in the valley. I know I can. I'm tired. Here we go. Well, I'm tired. So weary, but I must go alone till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes, where the morning's so bright and the Lamb is the light and the night is as bright as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Skies will be clear and serene. Oh yes, where the sun ever beams in this valley of dreams, and no clouds where there will ever be seen. In the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace. Peace in the valley for me. Where that old bear, he'll be so gentle, and that wolf, he will be tame. You know the lion, he's gonna lay down by the Lamb, oh yeah. And there the beast of the wild, they'll be led by a little child. I will be changed from this creature that I am.
be peace, peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I know there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, or no trouble at all. I see there will be peace, peace in the valley for me.
Right. Good song. Good song. Turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Amos, if you would. And if you would like to and don't have a Bible, we'll get you one if you lift your hand. We got some folks with some Bibles. Amos may be kind of hard to find. It is for me. We don't go to it much, but you'll go to Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. And we're just going to read one verse there and then go back to the book of First Chronicles. But we're going to look at a word here. It's a part of a verse of scripture that people are familiar with. Maybe the only verse of scripture in the book of Amos anybody is familiar with. Amos is one of those minor prophets that we don't hear much about. Amos was just a farmer that God called, and he wasn't a prophet nor the son of a prophet. He's just a farmer that God wanted out there. And so if you find that, it's Amos 4:12. And it has to do, Amos, like all of the minor prophets, got on Israel, their own nation, for turning against God, for doing things they ought not do, for rebelling against God. And they cried out against them. They preached against their sin. And because of that, nobody liked them. You start talking about people's sin, you make enemies real quick. In fact, one time Jesus told his disciples, he said, the reason they don't like me is because I tell them the truth. And that's one of the last things we don't see. Brag on me. Don't tell me how really sorry I am. I know deep inside that, so that's why I don't want to hear it. But So here's the verse in Amos. I hope you've had time to find it now. Chapter 4, verse 12. He said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, if there's anything that we don't prepare for much, and that's meeting God. But I want you to go back now, back to the left, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. David is coming to the end of his life, the great king of Israel. David was a unique man in the Bible. Some of you guys could learn something from David. We think sometime that we're pretty smooth. David was a swinger. Let me tell you. This man was under... You ought to read the life. Do you want some interesting reading? Read about the life of David. And David used to really bother me because God said in the Bible that David was a man after his own heart. And I would read the life of David, and if anybody could just mess things up, old David could mess up a two-car funeral. I mean, he could just... And yet God said, this is a man after my own heart. And I wondered about that. You'd go back and read about David. And I'd buy books that people had written about David. And I couldn't get that to come together. David would kill you. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband wiped out. David makes statements in the Bible that we won't read in mixed company. And yet God said, this is a man after my own heart. And then one day it kind of dawned on me as I was reading. Every time that David got in trouble with God, and God would send a prophet to David and said, David, you did it. And not one time did David say, wasn't me. Not one time did he say, it's that other guy. Not one time did he blame one of his own men. David took it and was honest with God. I did it. I'm the man that did it. I'm guilty. And God, of all the things that God wants, is truthfulness out of us. He don't want to hear a song and dance about how we got in the car and they have to have drugs and the car got stopped and the people said it's our drugs. When you hear that, just say, when you get, now, you can tell the cops that if you want to, but God knows better. God knows. And so, David, God had put on David's heart to build him a temple. Nobody else had thought about that. David said, Lord, I want you to have a place to be here on this earth. I want to have a presence where we can find you any hour of the day. Just come and we can join in with you. And God said, David, I can't let you build it. You shed too much blood. You've been too honoring. He said, here's what we'll do. I'll let your son build it. And probably if that had been me, I'd just pouted and said, okay, then I'm not doing nothing. You know, sometimes we say we want to help somebody do something and they say they don't need any help and we start pouting. Are we going to do... Let me tell you how much you can tell about your real insides. Go help somebody. Really do something good for somebody and let your buddy get the credit and see how you act. We'll be jumping up. No, that's me. I'm the one that gave the money. I'm the one that did the work. I'm the one. See, we want everybody to recognize us all the time. But David didn't do that. Let's start reading in 1 Chronicles. We're going to read 5 verses here and then talk about one of the sentences in it. He said, then David said, this is the house of the Lord and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he sent masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians, and they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David, and here's the verse I want you to highlight. So David prepared abundantly before his death. I was thinking, I never did prepare much when I was a young man. I say I never did prepare much. I didn't prepare any. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to college. And for 12 years, every September, every August, actually, I put on a football uniform. Every August. And I did that in, started out in grade school and then high school and then 4 years of college. I graduated from college and I didn't have a clue. Now, I've got a college degree. I missed the education totally. But I've got the degree. But come August, and you know what I was doing? I was following rodeos around, barely living. I would have been out getting a job. One of the reasons I would have been out getting a job, I just got married in August. And you know, I don't have a clue. I don't have any preparation. some of you that are country western fans listen to Alan Jackson sing Chattahoochee. And he said, we're just living for the minute. Boy, and I did that. Some of you do that. We don't plan on anything. We go from payday to payday. We go from one party to the next party. We go from hand to mouth. We don't ever accumulate anything. We always rent. We never own. We have a whole generation of people like that. That just, they spend their life making payments. And I remember, I didn't care. Somebody say, what's it cost? I said, I don't care about what's it cost. How much is it a month? No, I guess they could have charged me $4 million if they just got the monthly payments down, right? If I can make the monthly payment, that's the way we put it. Well, we don't. It said David prepared. He can't build this. But this is his idea, and he wants to honor God with this building. And so he starts gathering the materials and preparing to build it for God. He can't do it himself, but he can help do it, and he can prepare. And it said David prepared abundantly before his death. He's getting to be an old man. He could have said, Solomon, you get out there and hustle this stuff, boy. Because Solomon was going to replace him as king. Solomon would get the credit for building the temple with everybody but God. I notice when God talks about it, he'll go back and mention that it was David's idea. He knew who wanted this done. It wasn't Solomon's idea. But he prepared. It said he prepared abundantly, not just haphazardly. He is preparing. He put everything into it. This is something that he's thrilled with. Is anything in your life that you just want to put everything into? I was talking to a young man yesterday morning. I'm sorry, this morning. I had to have some work done on my car, and he was bringing me back to the office. And he was talking about how much he loved his job. He said, I'd worked at this one place for years, and he called the name of it. But he said, they don't like you. They just use you. And he said, the man I'm working for now takes time to teach me something. He's helping me become a good mechanic. He talks to me about it. He said, I love doing what I do. And I remember a guy telling me one time, he said, you know, if you find something you love to do and can make a living out of it, you'll never have to work a day in your life. Are you doing things you like to do? Or are you just trying to, man, get through this? If I just get through this, if I just get out of Clover House, if I can just get off parole, if I can just get off probation, if I could just get, I remember Merle Forsyth saying, when you get what you want, what will you have? When you get where you're going, where will you be? Hey. So David prepared about, he had something to achieve. Let me tell you, in our day and time, the thing that happens to all of us, not just young people, all of us, we get bored real quickly. See, men do not have a remote control to see what's on TV. Men have a remote control to see what else is on TV. We get bored. I can remember when the microwave came out and somebody said, this will heat a cup of coffee in a minute. 60 seconds, I said, you kidding me? No, it'll do it. And they put that coffee in there, and sure enough, in 60 seconds, it did it. And I thought, that's great. You know what, today I stick a cup of coffee in there and sat there and pat my foot. I wish it'd hurry. It's taking so long. We're like that. We get bored real quickly. That's why... See, our churches have stopped feeding the sheep and started entertaining the goats. We got to have something going on to keep people's attention, because just the Word of God. And say, we got a generation that wouldn't be happy in heaven at all. Not only do we get bored real quickly, but we start feeling sorry for ourselves. We've had so much. I got my car in the shop this morning. I picked it up right after lunch. 5 o'clock, I'm calling the wrecker to come and get it. Take it back to the shop. Got some more problems. And I'm not the most patient man in the world. But I got to thinking, this could happen on a highway somewhere. And you know what? My wife's got a vehicle, and she's going to come pick me up. Or I felt like she would. Hey, we got two cars. And we're poor. Let me tell you, by this world's standards, we ought to be on welfare. I'm serious. I can be. Since we started the ministry and went full-time, for the last 21 years, we have never made enough money to pay income tax. That's the honest truth. But you know what? God has always taken care of. I'm here to tell you, not only can He multiply the loaves and the fishes, He can multiply the gas. He can multiply. We had no insurance. I turned 65. I got Medicare. Insurance, baby. I don't know how long it was hardly no time I had that till they found out I had colon cancer. They operated on me the next day, got all of that. Then they found out I had lung cancer. I said, I wished I didn't have any insurance. I'm spending a lot of time. When I didn't have any insurance, I never got sick. My wife's had 7 back operations. She didn't have any insurance during all that time. And we never had to go back to the doctor. It was amazing how God took care of us. See, one brother told me one day, you give a hand to God. But one brother told me one time, I was in a meeting, he said, brother, I'd like to have a healing. Wouldn't you? And I said, no, sir. He said, you wouldn't like to have a healing? I said, no, sir. He said, why? I said, I don't want to be sick. You got to be sick to have a healing. I don't want to be sick. I want to have good health. But we get feeling sorry for stuff, that things are going, why is this happening to me? Now, let me just be honest with yourself for a minute. Aren't you glad that they didn't catch you for everything you've done? And I'm talking about this front row people too. I remember one time, right after we started going into prison, and I was talking to this young man, and we got to visiting a lot, and he said, Leland, he said, I'm just so thankful they didn't catch me for everything I did, or I never would got out of here. And see, God gives us so many chances. So David prepared abundantly. He is busy at it. Find something in your life that will keep you busy and thrilled and want to get up in the morning. I mean, if you don't have anything to get up for, that's miserable to me. I got friends who have been able to retire. And ask one of them, because for the last 6 months before his retirement, he was down at the Y all the time, and all he talked about was his retirement. I'm going to retire, I'm telling you. I'm through with this work, I'm going to retire. He retired. Run into him again, he'd been retired about 6 months. I said, man, how's your retirement going? He said, it sucks. I said, what? He said, I never realized just the camaraderie you have sitting around before you start to work having a cup of coffee with the guys. And this guy got him a job. He went back to work. He found him something he could do. He's working full time now. He said, because he got bored. And if we don't have anything to do, we start thinking about all we don't have instead of, praise God, I can still do this. See, somebody said this, if we would all throw our troubles out in a pile, you sit there and look at them for a little bit and reach and get yours back. Because I can show you some, I got some friends with some real problems. Hey, I mean real health problems, real burden problems, hard problems, problems in the family, heartaches, burdens. Hey, let me tell you, quit thinking about yourself. Go do something for somebody. You wanna help yourself? Go out and help somebody. It's somebody. I don't know how this works. I wish I could tell you how it works, but I can tell you this, it does work. You get busy doing something for somebody, and it's amazing how you get blessed. We get to thinking all the time. We don't go anywhere in here, sir. But you just get blessed in that constantly. Last thing, David prepared. It said before his death, so he knew what he was doing. He prepared with death in mind. Charles said he'd just been to a funeral today. And when you start getting our age, you could probably entertain yourself at funerals. We have a lot more to go to than we used to. But I can tell you this, I'm very aware that funerals don't just happen to old people. Because I buried a brother, the best friend I had at 19. I buried a brother at 21. I buried a son at 23. And I buried some good friends in their 40s. So, and I've shared this with many of you, an old man told me one time, and I talk about this, I say this old man told me. And the other day I had a thought, this old man that I'm thinking about was younger than I am today. But he told me, I was in my early 20s when he told me that. He said, son, said, the young might die. The old must die. Think about that. But see, he prepared for death. It's amazing how we don't do this. And everybody in here mentally knows that everybody in here is going to die. But not one person, if we were to cast a vote tonight, there wouldn't be one of you that say, I think I'll be the next one to die. If I just passed out a sheet of paper and I said, write the name of the person in this group that you'll think will be the next one to die, you wouldn't put your name. And by the way, I'm not putting mine either. Because I may live to be older. We don't think about that much. See? In the book of James, he wrote this, James chapter 4, verse 13. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Now here's a man making some plans. He is preparing. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And you know, if you walk through a graveyard and you look and you see a name and then you see a date and then you see a hyphen and you see another date, that first date is a date of birth. The last date is the date of death. And in that hyphen is all that you see about that individual. Now, every person has got a lot of stories to tell, and that's amazing things in life. But when we're gone, just like I said, we're a vapor. We're gone. Can't see us anymore. We're there. And the whole story is told in a hyphen, just separating the day of birth and the day of death. See, there's no do-overs on death. Bible says appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We don't get to try. Everybody in here has had second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. We're in the hundreds or the thousands or maybe even the millions if you're my age. But let me tell you something. You don't get a do-over on death. You don't get the second. Say, hey, Lord, I didn't die too sharp then. Can I try that over? I think I'd do better. Don't get a do-over on death. You remember the rich man that lift up his eyes in hell. Said, man, send somebody back. He said, send Lazarus. Get somebody back up here. Tell my kin folks, my relatives. And he said, son, they've got the scripture. Oh, somebody needs to rise from the dead, he said, go tell them. Hey, listen then. You know what? Somebody's risen from the dead. Jesus Christ. And people still refuse him. I want you to bow your head a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Are you prepared? If you were to die tonight, are you prepared? Do some thinking. Take some time, because it's your life, it's your soul that will spend eternity at one place or the other. It's you. Each of us have to give an account of our own selves. And you say, Leland, the truth is that if I were to die tonight, I'm not saved. According to the scripture, I'd go to hell. I don't want to do that. But I'll be honest with you and tell you, I'm not saved. I've never been saved. You may not even know how to be saved. We're going to tell you in a moment. But first, you say, I've never been saved. Pray for me when you pray. Would you slip your hand up? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking around. Would you slip your hand up real quickly? I see your hand, sir. Anyone else? Real quickly. You can put it back down. When you lift it up, put it down. Anybody else? Real quickly. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Next question. Because many of you are keeping your hands down are telling me that, yes, I know Jesus. I'm going to heaven when I die. Have you made preparation for that? What are you preparing for? What are you preparing to do for God? Maybe tonight, maybe you know God's got a call on your life. It's something He wants you to do. You've known that. This is not, see, God doesn't play tricks and He doesn't play hide and seek with anybody. He's up front, in your face type of person. He won't lie to you. He won't con you. And you can't con Him. And you'd say, I need to do some surrendering. I need to do some preparation. I just need to come. And I've turned my heart over to Jesus. Now I need to turn my life over to Him. Would you come now? I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand with head still bowed and eyes still closed. And I want you to come on the very first stanza. Our Father, You know the needs of the people here tonight. You know those that lifted their hand that need to trust You. And I pray that they would come and do that. Get that heavy load off of their heart. And know that they know that they know that they're going to heaven. The others, Father, that need to come. You know who they are. They know who they are. We pray that they'd come right now as Charles began to sing, Just As I Am. Oh, Father, we ask that You bless this invitation in Christ's name. Amen. Would you come on the very first verse? Stand to your feet, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Would you stand, please? Come on. Yes, sir. Come right on. Come on. Someone else. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you prepared? That's all I ask. Sing one more verse. Nobody comes on this verse. We'll be dismissed. This is one more chance. Don't blow it. Yes, come right on. Yes, sir, guys. Come right on. Come on. One more verse, Charles. Somebody came on that verse. Nobody comes on this one. It's your choice. We'll close it. God, I come. Have you done what God wants you to do? Our precious Heavenly Father, thank you for those that came tonight. We don't know why they came yet. Whether to trust you as Savior and change their destination from hell to heaven in a moment, or whether they come just to start getting honest with you. Either way, we pray you'd get the glory. Thank you for those that are here. Bless those that give so much that we might have this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to pick up, and you're dismissed, if you'd like to pick up a little manual on what have I done and what do I do now, you can get them at the front desk. They're free. I suggest you get one.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.